morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Friday, April 3rd, 2009. And this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Hydrologists say that the snowpack is going to save us from ourselves for yet another year.
Maybe we're putting the brakes on growth. Foreclosures in Bend are up.
And President Barack Obama is in Strasbourg, France, to try selling Europe on the idea of being bogged down in Afghanistan for another decade.
Portland area weather, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and then clearing late. Highs close to 50. Tonight, partly cloudy, areas of fog and cold. Lows in the mid-30s. The weekend looks like it's going to be nice.
And first we go to news and headlines from around Cascadia. The official word from state hydrologists is good. The snowpack is reasonably well stocked with water for the coming year. Energy, agribusiness, and fish all have a stake in the game. But we're still looking at the issue through the wrong end of the binoculars. My guest this morning, Gordon Westfall, joins us to talk about water as natural capital. Welcome back, Gordon.
Hi, good morning. Natural capital. I'm looking at my bill going, I'm spending $55 a month to bring in clean water that has been polluted. And now we have to, that we pay to pollute and then we pay to clean. And then it's like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And then I look at people starting to use more water because there's excess snow up on the mountains. And it's like, you know, that's just a deception. Yeah, there's a lot of snow up on the mountain, and there is a little bit of time left to get more snow. But all that snow could be gone in a matter of 2-3 weeks, maybe a couple of days, I mean, depending on how fast summer comes in. So I think we need to really still look at conserving our water and working on ground efforts to create laws that protect our resource that we need within 7 days or we're dead.
Well, you're with the Center for a Sustainable Today.
Yes.
What are the what strategies? So far, it seems that we approach the problem of water with the assorted tactics, which inevitably are short-sighted. What sort of long-term strategies are evolving that take into account the fact that water itself has value, that it is natural capital?
Well, natural capital, we should take ownership in our resource. Not all that water needs to be owned by the people, because the people need the water to live. And we need the water to grow food and grow an industry and stuff. So we really need to take back ownership of the water and start making money off the water to corporations, and then making sure that the corporations are doing the right thing with the water, or we cut them off from access to the water. But at the same time, to create the longevity plan is to really get people in inner cities to start taking more control of their own water in their own space, off their house and off their driveways, and start really implementing small little rain catchment systems, you know, and so that's what the center does, is we help try to create, we do workshops out here, we're out in Oregon City, and you can go to sustainabletoday.org and check out some of the workshops, and what we do is we do rain catchment system implementations, and we talk about filtering water and what are some of the things that are in the water and how we can take steps to prevent those things from accessing the water in the future. But really, the quick story is at the community
Gordon, at this point, we're out of time.
Okay,
but thank you so much for joining us. So there's basically, bottom line, there's privatization of water as it's insofar as it concerns corporate interest, and then there's privatization of water insofar as the individual is concerned with taking charge of being a good steward and looking after the water that we have available and accessible. Thanks so much for that, Gordon.
Bye. Take care.
Irrigation water will begin flowing into the Klamath Reclamation Project no later than April 10th. The irrigation season usually begins April 1st, but the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation delayed it because Upper Klamath Lake was below the minimum levels required for the endangered suckerfish.
Well, in the Bend area, we're continuing to see a surge in foreclosure activity as people find themselves unwilling or unable to pay for their houses. The Bulletin newspaper reported this week that a total of 827 notices of default were filed in Deschutes County in the first 3 months of the year. That's an increase of more than 32% in foreclosure filings compared with the last 3 months of 2008. Maybe the burgeoning growth in central Oregon is finally slowing down because the land itself is fragile and can't take too much more pressure.
The National Weather Service forecasts a mix of spring weather in Washington. Forecasters say the snow that fell south of Everett this morning isn't sticking. A winter weather advisory in the Cascades is expiring after another 3 inches of snow. The drying trend for western Washington comes with a catch: cold. Forecasters say lows early tomorrow morning may be below freezing, especially in the southwest interior.
My guest this morning has the right answer to the question, how do we get organic produce to market without using fossil fuels? Jan Lundberg is a former oil industry analyst who started the nonprofit Culture Change 20 years ago. One of the projects of Culture Change is Sail Transport Network. He's currently working with the Village Building Convergence in Portland. Today, they are looking for farms. They're using pedal power to do that. My guest, Jan, is with us to talk about alternative transportation. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, thank you so much for being here with us. Talk a little bit. I'm curious about you're talking about using bicycles and sail as alternative transport systems.
Yes. Well, in Humboldt County, California, we ran a program for 7 years called Pedal Power Produce, bringing the veggies from the farm to the farmer's market with bike carts. And this is something that is probably on the rise as we speak because of the economic conditions and awareness about the limits of oil and the downsides of the pollution from it. But for longer distances, we have to look at sail transport. That's how things were done for thousands of years. And, of course, there's canoes and animal power as well. But basically, we're talking about getting back to local food production and distribution. And for some special things around the world, there's going to still be sailboats.
Well, we definitely have the waterways, we have the wind, certainly out in the gorge, and it just makes sense at this time and in this place to look at these alternative plans. So if people wanted to get involved in this and learn more, where should they go? What are the resources that you suggest?
Well, we have our website, culturechange.org. And we're always happy to hear from people and try to plug them into some activities. We have sailtransportnetwork.org as well, and there's also sailtransportcompany.com, active up in the Puget Sound.
And, of course, you'll be working with the Village Building Convergence here in Portland, too, and we're all looking forward to that. Thank you so much. For that, Jan Lundberg, a former oil industry analyst, started a nonprofit Culture Change. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, Jan.
Well, it's been my pleasure.
Republican Senator Richard Shelby is holding up President Obama's pick to lead Pentagon acquisitions. He wants assurances that the nominee won't change the criteria in a heated competition for a $35 billion refueling tanker contract. Shelby and other Alabama lawmakers worried that the Pentagon might award the contract based strictly on price without considering additional capabilities.
And that, people, is why it's so impossible for President Barack Obama to fill these important positions, because it's a thicket of special interests. A California man has pleaded guilty in Connecticut to a federal charge involving the illegal shipment of military jet fighter parts to Israel. Stuart Wax of Los Angeles pleaded guilty yesterday to making a false statement in an export control document. Wax, who owns MMM Wheels, Those shipped aircraft parts used in the F-4 fighter jet, labeling the shipment as plumbing parts.
A former U.S. Navy sailor convicted of leaking details about ship movements and the best ways to attack them was sentenced today to the maximum 10 years in prison. U.S. District Judge Mark Kravitz said Hassan Abu Jihad of Phoenix betrayed his country and endangered his fellow sailors. Abu Jihad was convicted last year of disclosing classified national defense information. Prosecutors labeled him a traitor who was trying to help foreign terrorists replicate the bombing of the USS Cole, which killed 17 American sailors.
And now we go to D.C. Dirt with KBOO's reporter, Spencer Raymond. It's been an intense week all round, especially, of course, for Europeans who are vigorously protesting capitalism, militarism, and the pollution of the planet. Good morning, Spencer. So Barack Obama's pushing NATO to step up efforts in Afghanistan. What do you make of it?
Yeah, but that's the next stop, Chris, on his European tour to NATO summit today. And what Obama is going to be doing is he's going to be talking with other NATO leaders about what is going to be the new look, the new phase of NATO in this new post-9/11 world. The last big NATO ideology was set in 1999, so they're going to update that, and the focus is going to be on Afghanistan and what to do there, primarily training for policemen, police in Afghanistan. That's where the money's going to. That's where the personnel, both NATO and NATO allied countries, will be sending personnel to NATO to help train police there.
Ironic, don't you think, that Afghanistan has often been referred to as the grave of empires?
Yeah, well, you know, we all know what happened with Russia when they tried to invade Afghanistan in the 80s.
And that's only the most recent one. This goes back to the British Empire and far, far beyond Mughal invasions. It's been a history of invading empires, getting taken down in Afghanistan, and never fails. It's an it's not possible to wage war in that kind of environment, and people whose normal resting state is at war, basically.
You're right, and that's what NATO is going to have to wrestle with now, is not traditional war, but peacekeeping, training peacekeepers on the ground, training police personnel to try to keep that government there up and running. Chris, it's also important to mention that talks with Russia have been renewed with NATO. Remember the Georgia-Russian war, when NATO cut off all negotiations, all talks with Russia, that's back going again. And Obama has said that he will hold off encouraging any other Russian satellite states to try to join NATO. And this means after today's summit, no new members of NATO are likely to join in the foreseeable future.
Well, the U.S. is definitely, it's pretty clear from the direction that the negotiations are heading in that we've lost considerable leverage and are going to have to really try. The Americans seem to try diplomacy as the very last resort. Afghanistan is a disaster. We can't afford it. And it just surprises me personally that Barack Obama, who is unarguably a smart man, would allow us to get bogged down there. Again, the justification is the war on terror. Is that still valid? Do you, in your opinion?
Not from indications here. It turned less from a war on terror being, you know, a U.S. and American thought and directive to how do we maintain Afghanistan as a sustainable state, as a successful functioning government, both from a security standpoint and just from them joining the international community. And that's where NATO comes in with the peacekeepers and the police trainers.
Or not, as the case may be. If the Europeans have the way, NATO won't be coming in with the peacekeepers. Spencer, thank you so much for that. That's all we have time for today. That, of course, is KBOO Spencer Raymond, joining us as he does every weekday morning with D.C. Dirt. Thank you so much for that, Spencer.
Thanks, Chris.
Police fired tear gas at a group of several hundred protesters who hurled rocks at officers in Strasbourg on the eve of the NATO summit. It was the first report of conflict on a day of protests in the French city. Two other cities across the border in Germany experienced small but scattered and peaceful demonstrations. Police said the protesters started to burn a makeshift barricade of slats of wood and trash bins in the Strasbourg neighborhood of Neuhof. This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Friday, April 3rd, 2009. Editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Todd Wilson. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio station at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
And now stay tuned for Flashpoints.
Thanks for listening. Have a good day.